Vessels ready and prepared, Lord, to hear what you have for us today. Pray for our pastor. You give him the words to say that would speak to all of our hearts. And I pray that we would all be changed for the better, for your glory and honor here today. Pray for your blessing on this reading and for the preaching to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou any here besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and in whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning into the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and he will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in, and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Thank you. You may be seated.
In life, we make choices, and what we eat, where we go, what we do, and so on. But the other thing is this, is that the decisions always bring consequences with them. We make choices. We do not obey the Lord, or we decide to obey the Lord. And so we have to understand that these choices, such as what we're going to eat, where we're going to go, maybe doesn't have a lot of consequences to it and so on. But the decision to obey or disobey is a great decision. And Abraham chose to obey the Lord. Lot chose the rich water and the plains of Jordan, pitching his tent towards Sodom. Now, Lot's decision had a long-term effect on him and his family. And you have to understand this. When Lot made that decision to head to Sodom, I don't know that he had a wife yet. Very possibly he married a Sodomite wife and had his children there and so on. So the idea of the decision-making process is so important in life. We choose, we make decisions, we decide what to do, what not to do. And again, the idea of allowing the Word of God to filter through our lives and to have an effect on our lives for the good. So consider Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we see the walking, the standing, and then the sitting. And the idea is that, you know, Lot made a decision to join forces with not just lost people, but Sodomites. And in that town, there were, you know, other people, what we consider normal people to a degree, but they lived a worldly life. They had the idea and the philosophy that, you know, there's nothing right, there's nothing wrong. And so we find here that Lot made a decision. And again, the idea of, you know, scorning the Bible, scorning the house of God, the pastor, all the things of God. How does that happen? How do you get to a place where you compromise and take lightly the things of God? Well, there are many different answers, but I want to say one thing, that the process is by really listening to those who speak contrary to the Word of God. In Galatians 6:7, the Bible says, "And be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, you cannot sow bad seed and expect a healthy crop. It's impossible. And you can't go against the Word of God in such a way and expect to prosper. You cannot compromise and expect to come out of it right. It doesn't work that way. We're either all in or we're not. We're either followers of the Word of God or we're not. We're either obedient to the Bible or we're not. There's no gray area with God. And so the first thing we see in our study today is the commencement of spiritual failure. And we start to at the beginning with Abraham. And when you go back, let's go back to chapter 12, if you would. There was a disobedience here. In chapter 12, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land where I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and be in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to, and Lot went with him. Well, Lot was supposed to go. He said, get away from your kindred. It should have been him and his wife, Sarah. And so we find the disobedience. And then next thing you see in chapter 13, and notice verse 1, and Abram and went up to Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Well, Egypt represented the world, represented, you know, the things of the world. And next thing you know, that Lot was greatly affected by it. Notice chapter 13, verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. So we find here that there was contention. And anytime there's contention, beloved, you mark it down, this pride. This pride. With pride cometh contention. And so Lot had a spirit of strife, of contention, of pride, of ingratitude. Words that really describe Lot. And there was unthankfulness about him. There was, I deserve. I want more. I expect more. And when you think about it, everything that Lot had been handed to him. And just like young people today are in the same circumstances, there's so much that young people are handed, are given, are they don't have to work for it. And I'm telling you, it's a curse. It's a curse. You talk to the men around here with some age on them and ask them, what'd you have to do to get your, again, they had to work for it. It was with their hands. It was labor. It was labor intensive. And it was earned. Where today, people, here, you can have this, you have that, here's a car, here's a bank account, here's whatever the thing is. It's handed to them. And as a result, there's a great spirit of ingratitude among our young people in our country. So think about this. Think about, his lack of appreciation. Now, over in 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8, the Bible mentioned, we'll get there later, that he was a just man. Mentioned it twice, and it mentioned it was right, one time just, and then twice he was righteous. But he was a saved man. And again, the problem was compromise. A person, a child of God, compromise. And so next thing you see here is in verse 13, verse 4, we see where the Bible says, and unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with him, Abraham, went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. So God writes down in his word that Abraham built an altar. There was an altar there. There's a place of worship, a place of prayer. There's a place of love for God. It was a place of thanksgiving. And Lot was fixated instead on the flocks, the herds, and the tents. So, look, when I was a young Christian, there was immaturity on my part. Not maybe to the place of Lot where he compromised, but there was immaturity. But the thing is this, is that he broke away from Abraham too soon. Too soon. And he was very immature, young convert, the child of God who fails to read and to pray and to worship and to study and meditate on God's word. He's going to be easy prey for the devil. And that's important to understand. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, remember, the Bible goes on and says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So again, the devil will attack, deceive, undermine the child of God. Now, consider the devil's tactics in an appeal to man through the eye gate and the ear gate. And that's why, look, this is so foolish, young people, to again consider these things. You know, young people are so deceived by what they see, what they hear. And it's so important for you not to be deceived. It's a warning throughout the Word of God. Be not deceived. Don't fall for it. Don't look at the cook and with a little thing on there and for you to bite. You shouldn't be that way. There should be no temptation in that sense. And I understand temptation comes, but you should not be tempted by the world. Thank you. This is the Baptist church, right? I think it was in the Sunday school. We sure heard it was. So in Genesis 13, verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and there was well watered everywhere, and before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like in the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So again, the idea is that there was temptation there. Lot knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. There was not a new revelation. Wow, we didn't know it was going to be like that. Just the name itself tells you they were Sodomites. It was the world. It was Vanity Fair. It was compromise. Anything went. It's hard to believe that, but that's the way people lived. Genesis 3 and verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Eve was deceived by the devil. She saw. Joshua 7:21, when I saw the goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. See, God had told Israel, when you go into Jericho, don't touch a thing. Let it all burn. Let it all be destroyed. In 2 Samuel 11:2, and it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And she was beautiful to look upon. So again, the idea is that you say, well, you know, David couldn't help himself. David should have been at war. He should have been there. You know, Eve should have been wise. She should have listened to God. She wouldn't have ate of the fruit. And then Achan, if you would just listen. See, our eye gate gets us into so many problems. The Bible says to look upon a woman, to lust, and so on. So again, we see the failure of Lot, and Lot knew better. Second of all, we see the course of spiritual failure. And notice, if you would, in chapter 13, one man had listed six steps. He said, first of all, Lot looked. And that's Genesis 13, verse 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan. And then the Bible says, Lot longed. In Genesis 13, verse 10, the Bible said, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and thou comest to the Zoar. So again, he longed for it. There was a lust in his heart. There was a desire. And again, the Bible tells us, when it comes down to a sexual desire, you're to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You're to kill it in your life. And again, nothing wrong with within the marriage, within, you know, enjoying yourselves, so on. But when it comes down to, you know, inordinate affection or, lasciviousness in your heart, it's wrong. It's dead wrong. So the next thing we see is Lot chose, verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and then separated themselves the one from the other. So again, what was this over? It was over pride. There was contention between Lot's men and Abraham's men. And Abraham was the gracious one. He said, look, I don't want fighting going on. There's no reason for this. There's no reason. So you have first place, as it always was with Lot. And he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. Both of them should have headed west, east or should have headed north or south. They should not have headed towards the well-watered plains. They knew better. And next thing we see here is he pitched his tent. Verse 12, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the land in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then chapter 14, verse 12, we find here where the Bible says, they took Lot, Abraham. I don't think that was it. Let me see here. Verse 14 in chapter 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes, look from the place without our northward, southward, eastward. So Abraham could have chose any place, but Lot chose to dwell there and to stay there. And again, Lot ruled by the city gates. So we go into chapter 19, where our text is, and we find here that he was ruling. So Lot was a wealthy man. Lot had the wealth of cattle and flocks, and he no doubt increased his wealth. And there he sat in the city gates. So what was the city gates like? It was a place of compromise. He sat there with Sodomites. And maybe there was a straight man besides Lot, but most of them were not. They were homosexual or bisexual. And the idea was Lot, he sat there with them. And the Bible tells us that it was wearisome to him. Lot's compromise brought him down. And the compromise of any child of God will bring them down. It also pulled others down with them. Lot destroyed his family. And that's the thing we have to understand. Just a little compromise. A compromise is like getting on a grease slide, heading downward. You never go up. You never become more spiritual if you go against the Word of God. When you compromise. And so things can look so good on the outside. But remember, all that glimmers is not gold. Lot was wealthy. He was important. He sat at the city gate. He was a somebody. And regrettably, he formed close alliances with the Sodomites, for the Bible tells us that he called them brethren. Genesis 19:7. And it's foolishness, beloved, to equate wealth with spiritual blessings. Now, I'm not against wealth. I praise the Lord. If you earned your money and you have money, good for you. I say that with all sincerity. But think of some of the wealthiest people in the world. Think about when you equate wealth with God's blessings. It's not consistent. Think about this. Think about people in different businesses where they're wealthy. Drug dealers, pornographers, Hollywood stars, wickedness in high places. I mean, you can't tell me it's God's blessing on their life. You know, some of the poorest people in the world that I've met have been greatly blessed of God. So you don't equate prosperity with God's blessing. It's not wise. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And notice, please, verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 16. Now, if I could find Proverbs. All right. And verse 16, the Bible tells us here, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall oxen hates with therewith. So God is telling us here, as we go to Romans 8, that look, you're better off with just a little than to have fighting and fussing going on with money. And Romans 8, verse 35. The Bible tells us here, verse 35, and who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So nothing's going to separate us from God's love. It doesn't matter if you go through a depression. Nothing separates, and that's far more valuable than not having the love of God within you and fighting and fussing. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And the Bible says here in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's not what I wanted. Hang on. 1 Timothy, here we go. Chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and certainly we can carry nothing out. We, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and the many hurt of foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. When people worship money, when they bow down to it, when it's held in adoration. Now, which some, having come after, have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. So again, Abraham did it right. He was blessed of God. He had cattle. He had sheep. And he was living well. But Lot was the one who chose Sodom and Gomorrah and gave himself over to be part of that cities. Now notice chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, beloved, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of the Lord and of God resteth upon you, and the part of his evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So again, we find here where people go through problems, tribulations, challenges in the Christian life. And all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. And so we find here Revelation 2 and verse 10, please. And the Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So let's go back to our text now in Genesis. So we see that prosperity does not equate God's blessing on your life. And that's very important to understand. So we find here Lot, where he looked so good from the outside. But oh, the sins of Lot, he vexed his righteous soul. And he was worn down, tormented by the filthy lifestyle of the Sodomites. And that's what the word vexed means. It means that beaten down. He was, it hurt him. It grieved him. Now, beloved, I want to tell you that what he did, I mean, we read it, and I don't want to expound on it, but he had two daughters that had not known men. And he offered them to the multitude of men. I mean, talk about wicked. Talk about ungodly. Now, where did that come from? It didn't come from Abraham and Sarah. Where did it come from? Compromise. Where he said, listen, I can take my daughters, but leave these men alone. I mean, you know, you'd like to say, what was he thinking? But he was thinking. But he wasn't thinking on the Lord. He wasn't thinking spiritual thoughts. Here was a man who's called righteous twice and just once. Not perfect. Not without compromise. Lot was allured and offended by once in Sodom. He was taken by it. He loved the money, and he got a lot of great deals sitting at the gate. But that's not where he needed to be. You remember this. This may be a last service for some of you. But sin will take you farther than you want to stray, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Beloved, I have to tell you, I can tell you testimonies over 40 years of people either lost or compromised, and they got themselves into a heap of sin. Jail sentences. I mean, think about that. Going away for 30 years. Why? Because of compromise. Because they lost and they followed the lust of the flesh. You know, money is not always going to bail you out. It's not. There's some things that you can't bail out. Some things that just won't work. People are immoral. Think about what happened with Abraham and Hagar. The compromise. You committed adultery. Next thing you know, you have Ishmael on the earth. I'm telling you, it's never right. It's never right. It's going to cost you something. And in Lot's case, cost him everything. Cost him everything. He lost it all. Third of all, we see the consequence of spiritual failure. In this life, we go around once. Someone had to sum it up like this. He said, "This is it. This is the top. I tried it. This is all there is." And I have to tell you that life without the Lord is not worth living. It isn't. It's only the Lord that can make it sweeter. It's only the Lord that can make it with a purpose in mind. Usually the world is so wrapped up with the next activity, the next thing. We're going on vacation, we're going to go here, we're going to fly here, we're going to drive here, we're going to take care of this, we're going to see this, and so on. Then what? It's only real with God's blessing on it, with a relationship with the Lord. Nothing else is real. It's all going to perish. It's going to fall apart. It's going to burn up. It's not meant forever. So you find here the consequences of spiritual failure. You only live one life and live it so briefly. We do not live on this earth forever. We must be careful with our lives, with our testimony. Now, I'm telling you, Lot, he had no testimony. Now, he was a righteous man who was saved, who believed the Lord. He received righteousness from God. But if you just read his life without Abraham, without seeing that Abraham was a just man or a righteous man, you'd say he was a lost man. That period of time in his life where he compromised. For what reason? A little drink, a little smoke, a little smoke of marijuana, a little thing up your nose. I mean, come on. It's crazy. You have one life. Live it for God. Do God's will. Be in God's will. Find God's will. So, as I said earlier, it's likely that Lot chose a woman from Sodom to be his wife. So he had children raised in Sodom. He had a Sodomite education. I mean, when people are teaching in schools today, preschool, kindergarten, that it doesn't matter whether you are called a boy or a girl, you don't know what your sex is going to be until you get older. Beloved, I have to tell you, I say this with all sincerity, I'm not grandstanding. People like that should be whipped and then executed. I'm telling you right now, the worst thing you can do is be a predator on little children. You want to get older, you want to say, oh, you know, you can be a transgender, whatever, nine, you know, you're 20 years old and so on. That's the world. But to put it on little children, to see people who are converting back and forth between, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl and so on, that's sick. And it's only sick people that promote such a thing. Don't tell me they're normal. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. They can't be. It's abnormal. I refuse to be partakers of it. I do. I refuse it. I'm not going to have a part with it. So we find here it's likely that Lot chose a Sodomite woman. Outside of coming to Christ, the most important decision you ever make is who you're going to marry. Now think about this. He marries a lost woman. It was against his belief system. And, you know, you have to ask the question, why would you want to marry a lost girl, a lost boy, if you're a professing Christian? Why would you want to do that? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be ignorant, to marry someone who's a false professor. It's another thing to purposely go after someone who's not saved. Doesn't make sense. And outside of Christ, it's so important who you marry. That's going to be your life partner. Now, why on earth would you, someone who claims to be saved, pursue a lost person? Remember, Lot lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his wife. Remember, be sure your sin's going to find out and find you out. He lost fellowship with God. God wasn't blessing Lot. God's blessing wasn't on him. He lost his morals. I mean, he put up in chapter 19 and verse 8. But behold, now I have two daughters, which you and that have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Now, beloved, I don't want to go into details, but he must have seen that over and over again. How can you give him your own flesh? Wicked. Wicked. He lost respect of his peers. Verse 9 of chapter 19. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn and he needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So we find here the lost respect of his peers. He lost the testimony before his family. And look at this, verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will restore this city, and he will seem to be one that mocked, but he seemed to be one as mocketh unto his son-in-laws. He had no testimony. See, Lot was too busy turning the dollar, making just a little bit more, wanting a little bit more. What was the purpose? How much is enough? I mean, I don't know. I've never been in that position. But how much is enough? Do you have to work the second job? Do you have to give yourself over? I mean, to me, I would want to raise my family in a New Testament church. I'd want to raise them, if they had a Christian school, I'd raise them there. I would rather the power and the blessing of God on my family than to turn my daughters out to a crowd of sodomites and then try to witness to my son-in-law and then have no power with him. Just doesn't make sense. No power. They consider him as one that mocketh. But he was out of his mind. He lost his wife. Notice verse 26. The Bible says, and his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, why did she look back? I mean, maybe it was, something she wanted. Maybe she couldn't believe it. Maybe she was anxiety complex or something. A well-known historian, Josephus, claims to have seen the pillar of salt to this day, or rather his day, and remember Lot's wife. What the cause, the scripture teaches us, flee from the wrath to come. This world, it may not seem that way right now. This world is going to be burned up. There's the rapture. The Bible tells of wars, rumors of wars, famines, all these different things that God says is going to be before the tribulation period. And then the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We're out of here. But those left behind, it's too late. Too late. And why? You know why? Because you turned back. You said, no, I don't want to see that city go. I want to see the city burn. I wanted my materialism. I wanted my pleasure seeking. I wanted immodesty. I wanted the world. Too late. She turned into a pillar of salt. God warned them. God's word is true. It's to be believed. Then he lost his wife and he lost his possessions. Verse 28 and 29. The Bible said he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plains and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the city of which Lot dwelt. So again, we see God delivers the just before he destroys, and that's why we believe in the pre-millennial rapture or pre-tribulation. But the idea is this, is he lost his possession. Everything that he worked for. Everything. The trades. The house he lived in. The opulence. The blessings of materialism. Gone. Just gone. Just gone. Nothing left but your soul. So what matters is you. Your soul. Your relationship with God. That's what matters. And then he lost his children. Verse 30, the Bible tells us, and Lot went to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, and he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave. Him and the two daughters, what happened. I don't want to have to read all that. But again, they enticed him to sin. Now, where did they learn about alcohol? Where did they learn? Now, you may just say, I'm just going to have a little sip once in a while. It's a celebration. Our 50th, 30th. We're just going to have a little bit. You may have it, but your son may be an out-and-out drunk. Your daughter may be an out-and-out drunk. You may turn her on to other things. That's why if you never tasted it, good for you. That's where you want to be. We see them first John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's all going to be left behind. So what do we learn today? First of all, our choices will always have consequences. Choose wisely. choose wisely. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. That's what we need to do. Don't need to compromise. Don't worry about what the world, doesn't matter if they look like they're doing well. But I'm telling you right now, beloved, they're not. It's not well with them. It can't be. Because the Word of God's true. And don't listen to what people say. Observe them. Observe their actions. Second of all, sin is deceptive. Lot never planned that he would destroy his family or his life. He never thought of it. But while he was there in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was making trades and buying businesses and selling business and doing all these different things, his family was going to hell. His son-in-laws, his daughters, his wife, and Lot lost it all. There was nothing left. Then last of all, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How important that is. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to accept what you are. That you're a sinner. That's what you need to do. Just accept what you are. The Bible says you are. The Bible says you're a transgressor of the law. That you're a lawbreaker. The Bible says that you've come short of the glory of God. You're not close. You fall short. There's a great distance between what you are and who God is. And then second of all, you not only have to accept that, you've got to believe on Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved in thy household. You need to believe in Jesus. He's the only Savior of men's souls. There's no other. There's no other system, Catholicism or Protestantism. There's no other way of earning salvation through Islam or Buddha or Hinduism. There's no reincarnation. These things are all false. There's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. There aren't many gods. There's one God, the true God, the only God. And then last of all, you've got to call on the Lord. You've got to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, that is so simple, you would think that all the world would believe that. And they don't. Few that be that find it. That's true. Few that be that find it. So many are separated from God. So many are lost and undone. So important that you come to know Christ this morning. That you believe on the Lord. That you settle your salvation. I believe this. I don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. But behind North Korea is Russia and China. That's who's behind North Korea. And I fear for the United States. So what's going to happen to this preacher? I don't know. But I fear. I know this much, we're not in Bible prophecy. Not there at all. So what's going to happen to us? Such an hour as to think not, the Son of Man cometh. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. And some of you are not, but you need to be. You need to come to Christ. You need to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Turning from your sin, believing on Him and Him alone for salvation. It's not you in the Catholic Church, not you in Protestantism, not you in Baptistism. It's you and Christ. You've got to settle your salvation. And then live your life for Jesus. Amen. I trust it's been a help. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to preach the Word. And again, another warning. Another warning, Father, from God's Word, the importance of not compromising, of not giving heed, not letting in the world. And I pray, Father, you'd help us all to make things right with you and make sure that those of us who are not sure, make sure we're saved. I pray your blessings upon this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. And if you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart, I trust you'll come. Trust you'll come do business with God.